There's a clipboard going around for you to sign a card, so let me encourage you to continue passing the clipboard around, and then when you think that everybody's had a chance, just set it on a seat close to the information table. But do not pass it down to where Otis is, okay? Otis has a birthday a week from tomorrow, and don't tell Otis, but we're going to celebrate it in a special way. It'll be a surprise. Our scripture is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, well, of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "Well, how can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our series for Advent is for all people. Where does that come from? Well, later on in the story, you'll read that when the angel appeared to the shepherds, they were afraid. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people." And last week, we talked about how this is good news for the old. Today, we're talking about how this is good news for the young. And the scripture tells us right from the very start that when God began to prepare for the birth of Jesus, he brought together various characters to play a significant role and part in this story. And one of those was a very, very young lady named Mary, probably only about 13 years old. Someone young, someone, well, for whom life was hard. And she was told that she would bear a child, engaged to Joseph, but not only would she bear a child, but that this child would be the Son of God. Now, it was not unusual for very young women back then, teenagers, to give birth to a child. That's the way it was back then. That very young, there were women who gave birth. But this Mary had been chosen to give birth to the Son of God. In other words, God chose her to play a significant role in this story that we tell every year, this story that we tell again this year. And you know, Mary had no prior experience in being a mother. If you think about it, she probably didn't know a whole lot about the prophecy of the Messiah. She was very young. She did not attend school. She did not have the experience of her elders who knew far more of God's word, yet she had what was needed, and that was a servant's heart. for when she said, okay, she said, well, let it be to me according to your word, for I am your servant. And this is good news for the young, because what it tells us is that God can use everyone, and God can use young people today as a part of what he's doing in the world today. It's not about having to wait. And so often young people are told, you must wait until you grow up. You need more experience. You need more education. Oftentimes the young are overlooked for leadership roles in the church. Oftentimes they're put aside, but yet God does what? God sets them apart to be used. I heard someone talking about their youth group, and they said to the junior highs, you're in junior high, but there's no such thing as a junior varsity Christian. That God can use you right where you are in junior high. God can use you. God can help you be a part of the story he's still telling in the world today. And that's so very, very true. And so often I forget that. And so today I'm going to pay a special attention when we have communion to every young person, to every child, to every teenager who comes forth to this table, because I want God to help me to have eyes to see them in a different way. These are persons who are here today to worship, but they're also candidates for service. They're candidates for fulfilling an important role in the life of the church and service, ministry, and mission in the world today. And I need to see young people differently. You know, I don't know what happened, but all the doctors that I go to now are very young. I go places and people call me, yes, sir. You know, I was told, you know you're getting older when you visit a senior citizen center and they tell you that if you go to the desk, they'll tell you where your room is. I realize that so often in my mind, I think I know what it is to be young because I was young and I have experiences, but do I really know what it's like for the young people today? A little bit, but I don't think I know enough. We think about young people today and what they are facing, and I think it's especially difficult to be a young person today for three reasons. Number one, the loss of innocence. We used to have a childhood. We used to have a time of being young, but so often now they're presented with an adult world and they're presented with adult choices and they're having adult consequences to their actions, and it's not always easy being young. There is this loss of innocence so early in life. And then there's this pressure, and it usually comes from their peers or those they look up to. Pressure to perform or conform. And we have all kinds of problems with the bullying and the trying to answer the question, am I pretty enough? Am I good enough? And we measure all of that by the expectations and standards by those around us. And young people are suffering under the pressure to perform in classroom and on the field and to conform. And then as they grow older and they begin to think about what their future may hold, we have the economic problem. So often now it is harder for young people to get started. They can graduate from college and not have a job and for a long time struggle. Because just getting started in life is difficult. And that's the way it was with Mary. They didn't have really probably it all figured out. They had problems. Youth also suffer from something we don't often think about. Anybody can suffer from depression. No one is immune from that. But I have especially tried to pay attention to young people and how they suffer from depression, which is basically feelings of hopelessness, helplessness, and worthlessness. When persons suffer from depression, so often they feel like they don't deserve to get better. They feel like they have no friends. They feel like no one loves them. They feel like they are not worthy. As you think about these things, we've got to share some good news. And here's the good news to young people. Good news for all of us. But God wants us to understand something. We are never hopeless. Jeremiah 27:11, I think it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for a future, not to harm, but to prosper you." I know there is a future for you. And Mary, young Mary, had no idea of the future that was out there for her. But God did. And see, when you're young, you don't know that the sun will rise tomorrow. You've maybe seen it a couple of times, but not over a course of many years. So you don't know how to sustain your hope. And so we got to tell people that there is hope, and that helplessness is a sense that I have nothing to offer. But we tell people, you are gifted. God gives everyone, including the youth and young people, with gifts. You are created marvelously and wonderfully, and you are gifted. I love what Otis does when he walks the neighborhoods and sees children. And he goes, do you know I see a doctor here? I see a teacher here. I see people here doing wonderful things because all of you are gifted. And how young people need to be told that they're gifted rather than suffering a deficit of skills. The third thing, of course, is worthlessness. You know, we just got to help people see themselves the way God sees them. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is to for us to see them the way God sees them. And to be like a mirror, that when they see us, they see reflected in the mirror a person of great worth and value. See, there is good news for the young. And the good news consists of this. You have a future, you are gifted, and you are worthy because Christ came for you. The one who came by way of the manger, left by way of the cross. We are worthy because of the one who gave himself for us. And when we come to this table, we come because we have been invited, and that's what makes us worthy. We have good news to tell the young, that God can use them now, that they don't have to wait for something to do. We have good news for the youth. You belong here in this church. You have a significant role to play. We have good news to share with the youth. And so often, God calls young people through older people. You who are older, like myself, can speak a word to someone young. I see in you, perhaps a pastor or perhaps a teacher, but I see in you. And as they hear these things said over them, so often they rise up to become far more than they thought they ever could be. My call into the ministry came in many different ways, but I had a Sunday school teacher who told me one day that he saw in me a minister. I didn't believe it. But I've also never forgotten that he spoke those words to me at one time when I was little. And so the good news for us today is for you, the young people, to hear what God says about you. And we, the older ones, it's up to us now to mentor young people, to invest in them, to believe in them, to support them. And by the way, we have much to learn from the young. Polly told me about a book one time. It was called Reverse Mentoring, about how the young can mentor us. And I believe it. There's so many things I don't know about my phone. I need to find a five-year-old. But isn't that wonderful when God brings us together? And that's what He's doing today at the table. We prepare for coming to communion, first of all, with confessing our sins. The invitation to communion at this time. This is for the invitation. The Lord invites at His table all those who earnestly love Him and repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with their neighbor. And let us therefore confess our sins. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we acknowledge that we have failed to live into the image that You created us, Your very image. That image has been tarnished. But Lord, we also know that through Your love and grace, that image is being restored. But it's only being restored as we constantly strive to grow in grace. Forgive us of our sins of not hearing the cries of the needy and the poor. Forgive us of our sins the way we have treated others and sometimes even treated ourselves. Forgive us for the words we've said, the actions we've done. Forgive us, Lord, when we had opportunity to make a difference, but we walked away. Oh, Lord, You do not hold us these things against us, but rather You release us when You forgive us to let the past be the past and to live into the future. And so we would acknowledge our sins and we would pray, Lord, that You would receive us by Your mercy and by Your grace through forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And now we come to the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of the ages, we praise You, for in the dawn of time You created the world, sending light by Your word to dispel darkness. In Jesus Christ, You began a new creation, sending Him to be the light of the world, to drive away fear and despair, and to rule in peace and justice, holiness and love. We especially thank You for the order and beauty of Your creation. In Jesus Christ, You share our human life. And You have given us the ability to work towards peace among the nations and justice for all peoples. And You have called us to be the church as a sign of Your coming kingdom. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ, whom You sent in the fullness of time to be a light to the nations. You scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts and have mercy on those who fear You from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things and the rich You send away. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, Your presence with us. He humbled Himself in obedience to Your will and freely accepted death on the cross. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread, gave thanks to You, broke the bread, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.